the Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Department of Commerce. And I might say this as a personal note, that I heard Elsa Porter in Washington last year at about this time, and I was just so tremendously inspired by her ideas of management of personnel. It was the most enlightened speech I do believe I've ever heard on this topic. And I am sure that those of us who are in government recognize Elsa Porter for this. And I do hope one of these days that these managers in government will do what Elsa tells them to do. And that's for sure. Elsa Porter, another very, very charming fact about her is that she started her professional career as a secretary. And to go from secretary to assistant secretary is not a demotion. She's way up there, and we're proud of her. Before she was assistant secretary at the Department of Commerce, she was the chief analysis and development division, the Bureau of Personnel Management Evaluation of the U.S. Civil Service Commission. And prior to that, she was the director of the Clearinghouse on Productivity and Organizational Effectiveness, also in the commission. And if I gave any more of her titles, I would be taking the whole hour, so I will cease and desist and instead turn you over to Esther Porter. Elsa.
Thanks very much, Doris. With Esther Peterson here and Ursa Poston and Elsa Porter, I'm used to it. That's right. Thanks very much, and thank you for coming. I really didn't expect to have anybody sitting here with all the exciting things that are going on in the big hall across the street, and I appreciate your coming. I thought I'd tell you a very little bit about what the Assistant Secretary for Administration does, and a little bit about what the Department of Commerce does, more if you'd like to know, and then I'd like to spend most of the time talking to you about what I'm trying to do in the Department of Commerce to change the organization, since the real fun of having power is using it. And that's what I'm trying to do. It's been a very frustrating time all these years trying to persuade other people to do things. And the real joy is, for the first time in my whole federal career, not having to ask anyone's permission. I just do it. The Assistant Secretary for Administration in most federal agencies has responsibility for the general administration, the supplies, services, motor pool. I also have responsibility for the audit and investigations and EEO and personnel and budget. Those are the main functions in my job. And the budget is very important for me. There are many assistant secretaries for administration who do not have budget responsibilities, and they are sort of housekeepers. The reason I like this job, and the reason that I was interested in getting it, is that it has the budget responsibility as well, and budget means money means power. As all of you know, and that really is the source of power in persuading people to do something, because you have the purse strings. Obviously, having responsibility for personnel means that one can hope to change that system, and having responsibility for EEO means that one does everything that everything that goes on in the department is done with a seriousness that I think you understand more than most of the people that I usually talk to. I'm the first assistant secretary for administration, first woman assistant secretary for administration in the federal government. I'd like to know how many of you here are federal employees. Okay, that's about two-thirds, I guess. The Department of Commerce is a fascinating organization which, when we came into office in, I came in early February, it was explained to me as government's attic, or the old gray lady on Constitution Avenue. It was referred to as government's conglomerate, and as President Carter's prime candidate for obliteration in the reorganization process. So with that cheerful entree, Juanita Kreps and Sidney Harmon, the undersecretary, and I, and a bunch of others, many of whom are women, entered on the very serious business of stewardship in the Department of Commerce. The Department of Commerce touches your lives every day in many, many ways. And let me just briefly lay out for you the members of this so-called conglomerate. The biggest piece of it is NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which in itself it has many organizations. It has the Weather Service, the National Weather Service, the National Marine and Fisheries Service, Coastal Management Zone Organization, and so forth. They are concerned primarily with oceans and atmosphere, weather services, and the fishing industry. Another organization is the Economic Development Organization, EDA, which in this last year has been the administration's prime conduit for some $4 billion worth of local public works grants for economic stimulus. In addition, EDA has served over the years. It used to be back in the 1960s under President Kennedy when it was started, the Area Redevelopment Administration, and its prime responsibility was to contribute to the economic development of areas, regions in the country which were within which there were structural poverty and economic distress. The Maritime Administration belongs to the Department of Commerce. Their job is to promote foreign commerce through the U.S. Merchant Marine, as well as to provide a backstop in the national defense, because the Merchant Marine is sort of the first line in an emergency for the Navy. We also have the U.S. Travel Service, Fire Administration. We have the Domestic and International Business Administration, which will shortly be known as the Industry and Trade Administration. We have the Office of Minority Business Enterprise. We have the Regional Action Planning Commissions, which are very interesting experiments federal and state collaboration for economic development. All of those organizations I categorize as primarily economic development and industry oriented, in the sense of developing an economic base. Creating jobs is really their job, fostering the health of industry so that people can have jobs within the private sector. Then there's another set of agencies within the Department of Commerce which have to do with technology, science and technology, and the application of science and technology to business and industry. We have them headed under an Assistant Secretary for Science and Technology, and they are essentially the National Bureau of Standards, which is our country's basic scientific laboratory. All the measures that underlie the economic activity of the country are developed by the National Bureau of Standards. The Patent and Trademark Office is part of the science and technology, you know, the providing of a method of an incentive to inventors to create new technology for business and industry. The National Technical Information Service, which is a national clearinghouse of technical information, and the Office of Telecommunications, which is being merged with another Office of Telecommunications Policy, and which will become, we hope, in this next session of Congress, the National Telecommunications and Information Agency, and that is the organization that will be dealing with the impact of telecommunications on business, industry, and personal lives, the whole issue of privacy. The issue of electronic transfer of funds, for example, the future is right in front of us, and I don't know whether I like it, because the day will soon be here when you go to the department store and charge buy something, and the amount will be immediately instantaneously deducted from your bank account, and you will lose. You would lose the float that we've been that most of us bank on for at least 30 days. Many new issues that are arising out of telecommunications technology will be dealt with in the Department of Commerce. Then the third leg of this three-legged stool, which is the Department of Commerce, is the information base, the very basic economic and statistical and some social information upon which our whole economy and political system rests, the Census Bureau. The census, when we did our zero-based budgeting ranking, the rankings of our programs this year for President Carter, we ranked the census program as our number one priority, and somebody questioned me on that. What do you mean? You know, counting people is more important than health and safety and all of these other things. And in this case, we said yes, because our very form of government could not exist without the census. The decennial census is the basis upon which democracy exists. It is the only program in the Department of Commerce whose basic mandate is written into the Constitution. And it is the most politically sensitive and the hottest issue we have now, because not only is the apportionment of Congress resting on the census count, but millions and millions of dollars of federal money are allocated to states and cities on the basis of the census count, and therefore an undercount means an underfunding and a potential inequity for any locale. So how we count, who we count, what questions we ask, and so forth are very, very sensitive questions. And so the Census Bureau is one of our, believe it or not, statisticians. The job of statisticians are the most, today's Washington are the most politically sensitive jobs in town. The other major information gathering agencies are, with Census, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which produces the GNP figures, the gross national product figures. When you read about GNP going up or down, it is the work of the economists and econometricians who work in the Bureau of Economic Analysis. They maintain the national accounts. We have two new information agencies that are lodged in the Department of Commerce under the direction of the Chief Economist. One is the Statistical Policy Division, which was in the Office of Management and Budget, which was recently moved by the President's reorganization order to the Department of Commerce, which now makes the Department of Commerce the central policy oversight unit for the entire federal government in the statistical area. We have also just begun a new unit, which is really an amalgam of kindred soul to work that has been going on for many years in the department, and that is the analysis of the health of industries, industry by industry. We have the GNP, which gives us gross figures on the economic health of the country, but for too long we have not had sensitive enough and accurate enough predictors of economic well-being within individual industries. The steel industry, for example, while the information was there and our steel specialists knew that the steel was going to have trouble, we had no mechanism of feeding that information effectively into the policymaking the policymaking channels of government, to the Council of Economic Advisers and the Council on Wage and Price Stabilization, and indeed to the White House, the domestic policy staff, so that appropriate measures could be taken in time, so that instead of having instead of waiting for governmental action until steel mills close and people are put out of work, we would have in effect an alert, an economic alert, industry by industry, and same thing for the shoe industry, the garment industry. We know which industries are in trouble, and we know that there are ways to deal with those problems. For example, taking the technology out of our National Bureau of Standards, people who work on advanced and applied technology, and bringing, we have all this information on one side of the department, and it's never been brought effectively to bear on problems that actually exist in the economy at large, so that we are trying to put those pieces together. The end result is that we do not think that the Department of Commerce is a conglomerate of unrelated agencies. We think that that three-legged stool, if it were properly managed, ought to sit very firmly on the ground and support in much better fashion the development of the private sector economy, which is to say stable jobs in the private sector for Americans. And that brings me to point of that I want to raise with you and ask you to ask me about or hear your views on, and that is the notion that we have that business is bad, and the feeling of the anti-business feeling around the country, while some business may be bad for the people in terms of irresponsibility and lack of concern for the social aspects of their work, business itself, that is to say business activity, economic activity, is absolutely essential to American survival, because upon business activity rests the generation of wealth, the creation of jobs. Our whole way of life rests upon economic activity, business. Well, it's true, and yet there is a feeling that business is bad, and we need to do something about that. Evil. Well, it is extremely complex, and particularly with new technology and not knowing the effects of new tech, of various kinds of technologies on consumers, on people, there certainly must be safeguards. But I would like to see the beginning of an understanding of the need for commercial and economic activity. You see, we are pressing, for example, for women business owners and for the development of additional small businesses. And yet, in the same breath, almost, business people are often criticized. And I think somewhat unfairly. Yes? I don't know what the cause is. That may be one of them. Yes, there was a question here.
Don't have the economic clout. So to bring that kind of pressure to bear without having that,